is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Bill Whalen at the Hoover Institution, Policy and Politics is his podcast. The Goodfellas is the podcast, TV show, YouTube of his colleagues talking about the moments nationally and internationally. Right now we're talking statewide. A congressional district in California that has not been open for several hundred years is open. The 16th congressional district, and this is high end, San Jose. And there, a long process left three candidates because, though it's a jungle primary, the number two and two were tied. Bill, a very good evening to you. How are they going to resolve a rule where they say only the top two candidates can go on to the general? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. One way to resolve it is that an individual here in the 16th district, where I live, by the way, this district covers Silicon Valley from San Jose up north past Stanford University in Palo Alto, a concerned citizen has requested that the county officials do a recount, and he will pay for it as well, which is what how California works, John. The state or the county is not on the hook for a recount, but if an individual is willing to pwn up the $300,000, which will probably cost, they will recount. Now, you're talking about 180,000 ballots cast in this March primary. Odds are that the two gentlemen who finished tied exactly at 30,249 votes apiece, I'm guessing, John, if you recount every ballot, it's going to move it one way. So we may end up with two people on November ballot. But if for some crazy reason there is a recount done and it still comes out at the same exact number, whatever that is, then you're going to have to amend the California November ballot, John, to put three names on it, not two.
Three names. So we come now to the thinking about interfering or participating in an account where you're running one Democrat against another. Is that as I was reading your piece, I thought there's gaming going on here, but I can't tell. This is a blue state. And everyone understands that if you're a Democrat, you probably have a good chance of getting elected. So what is the game here, Bill, that you can find?
My guess is this. The gentleman who requested the recount is not actively involved in this election, but he does have a past where he's worked with Sam Liccardo, John, who is the former mayor of San Jose, and he received the most votes in the primary. He's the first place finisher. So the school of thought is that somehow a recount is to the benefit of Liccardo. And as best I can figure, John, it works this way. The people who finished, the individual who finished one is a ultra progressive assembly member. And the other one, John, is much more of a, so I would say, pragmatic kind of policy driven fellow from here in Palo Alto. He's now a Santa Clara County supervisor. So my thinking here is that Liccardo camp, to the extent they may be involved in this or not, they simply want to draw on one opponent and not two. And the question is which two of those gentlemen they want. But here's the thing, John, you're recounting all these ballots. It's a crapshoot is who you're going to get for second place. It's not like you can determine if Batchelor or Whalen's going to be your opponent. So I'm just a little curious as to why they asked for the recount.
The recount will come up. And at that moment, then we're only going to have two candidates, right? The state will go along with that.
Yes. Yeah, two candidates will both be Democrats. And as it has been, this district has been controlled by Democrats for 30 years now. And will probably be controlled by Democrats for the foreseeable 30 years. And this is the frustration some Californians have with the open primary system, John. You don't get Republicans on the ballot. You don't get third-party people on the ballot, John. You just get the top two finishers. And so in some districts, it's an all-Republican affair. Some districts, it's an all-Democratic affair. It just doesn't give you a very broad variety of tastes.
Now, your observation that makes this column take off is that there's something defined in this campaign that can apply to President Biden's reelection campaign. How so, Bill?
John, so I sit here in Palo Alto and I've just got spammed by these ads just nonstop by the various people running. And as I watched the ads, John, it occurred to me that, wow, this is the Biden campaign. You had one candidate, Joe Simidian. He tied for second place. He's the county supervisor. He ran on policy accomplishments. Well, you see Biden already out there talking about infrastructure and drug prices and things he's done in his first 4 years in office. The other second place finisher, John, the assembly member, Evan Lowe, he just bashed Donald Trump. He talked about things he's done in the assembly to try to stop Trump. He talked about how democracy is under attack. And I thought, boy, this is just going to be nonstop mantra from the Biden campaign through November. And then there's another fellow on the ballot, John, way further down, a guy named Peter Dixon, who's a tech guy but also served in the Marines. He just appealed blatantly to women. He bragged his ad was just kind of a humble brag about being the father to young girls. and he fought in Afghanistan against the women hating Taliban. He was involved in a maternity hospital in Kenya. He worked in the State Department on Congo and women. And he pointed out that he worked for Hillary Clinton's State Department, not to be confused with Condoleezza Rice or any other Secretary of State. And once again, we have the Biden campaign here just, you know, pushing the button on women at all times as well. So this wee little congressional district, John, kind of represents the Biden campaign writ large.
And the policy, which is what Mr. Biden can talk about, that's very convincing, Bill. Donald Trump's campaign has nothing to match it. In fact, I'm unaware that Donald Trump talks policy at all.
He just will take you back to the previous 4 years and try to remind you of two things. Number one, the economy was better then than it is now, pre-COVID, mind you. And secondly, the world was a lot less complicated. Ukraine was not on fire. The Middle East was not about to blow up as it may this weekend. He's trying to offer you, and this is one of the truly great ironies of modern day politics, Donald Trump, a class A disruptor, is trying to come across as something of presidential comfort food.
The trials begin next week, and that is not going to happen to the 16th California. So we move from California to imagining what this campaign is going to look like once the trials start and former President Trump is mandated to be present. The first trial will be in Manhattan 4 days a week, I believe, is what I was told. Wednesdays the courtroom will be dark, and it will go on for a number of weeks. I can't remember. I get confused. And then there's the Georgia trial, and then there's the D.C. trial. It goes on forever. The question now is, what kind of campaign will be left with the one candidate always in the courtroom? Perhaps that'll give him good TV time. I'm reading speculation, Bill, that the Biden campaign, already anticipating an advantage here with Trump tied down, is not going to give Mr. Trump any attention whatsoever with a debate. There is a report in the Free Press that the White House is tiptoeing towards no debate. What do you make of that, Bill?
Well, we were talking about this off air before we started this. There has not been a presidential election without a presidential debate since 1968. So not in the lifetime of many voters have we been in this scenario. But a lot of things are coming home to roost at the same time. First of all, you have the two gentlemen question, Trump and Biden. Biden's going to say, look, Donald Trump is just too erratic, too crazy to deal with. I'm not going to I'm not going to get on the stage and dignify him with my presence. Fine. But that also ties into what? Joe Biden's age issue. So that's problem number one. Does Biden really want to point out the fact that his people think he's maybe too frail to handle a debate? Second issue, though, John, is that the presidential debates are running out of gas. We have this system of the commission, which drives the debates. Republicans have cried foul for years about it being biased in terms of who they select as moderates. So it's been kind of running out of gas anyway. And so maybe this kind of kills it altogether. I don't like to make predictions on these things, John, but I think I'm willing to go out on a limb in this regard. I think there would be just an enormous amount of pressure on Biden if he were to somehow want to duck the debates. I think that what you'll see here, he'll agree to one debate. They'll do it the once. And the parallel to this, John, would be the State of the Union address, where people thought, oh, my goodness, can Biden get up and give a coherent, you know, speech at 9 o'clock East Coast time? Well, he did. He gave an effective speech. And so I think they could sufficiently lower the bar to make people think, my God, can he last through the debate? And if he gets through the debate, he'll probably win just by surviving.
Bill Whalen, Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.